morning, church family. Why don't you stand together? We're going to let faith rise in this place today. Declare the goodness of God. It's good to see you.
Just one word, you calm the storm that's around me. Just one word, the darkness has to retreat.
Sing it with me.
With just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. Heart can't help but believe. There's nothing that our God can do. There's not a mountain that He can move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can do. Oh, yeah. Just one word, you heal what's broken inside. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe.
Come on.
There's nothing that our God can do. There's not a mountain that He can do. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can do. Oh, there's nothing that our God can do. There's not
believe.
I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Come on, I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power like the power of Jesus. I will believe for greater things. There's no power like the power of Jesus. Let faith arise. Let all agree. There's no power.
This is Parker Amar. Parker, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you know you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, that confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is Dan Howe. Dan, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you know you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Well, that confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, Lord. This is Diego Martinez. Diego, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you know you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, that confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Caitlin Wetterly. Caitlin, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you know you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, that confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is Kristen Griggs. Kristen, are you following Christ in baptism this morning because you know you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
Well, that confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and in obedience to His command, symbolizing the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism unto death, raised to walk in newness of life.
Come on, church. That's something to get excited about this morning. Lives changed by Jesus. It's so cool to see a testimony, a living testimony of the power that we just sang about. My name is Peyton Coker, and I serve here as the minister to young singles. I want to welcome you to church this morning. You set your clocks forward last night, and you made it here. So give it up for yourselves. You're in the house. If those of you who are tuning in online, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us wherever you are, however you are joining us. We are grateful that you would join us this morning. If this is your first time with us in the house, if you are a first-time guest, listen to this. This is pretty cool. You are an answer to prayer. We've been praying for you. We've been asking God to send you our way so that we can connect with you, that we can pray for you and minister to you here at Prestonwood. Would you do us the honor and the privilege of shooting us a quick text, the word guest, G-U-E-S-T, to 74788, the word guest to 74788. We'll follow up with you this week, but also because we've been expecting you, we've been preparing for you. We've got a free lunch buffet at our Main Street Cafe following this service. All that you've got to do is meet myself as well as several other of our ministry team members at our guest central in our atrium. We'd love to shake your hand and place that free buffet voucher in your hand this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm so grateful that you are here. One last thing is if you came in this morning and you didn't happen to get a hard copy of the worship guide, you can text the word God, G-U-I-D-E, to 74788 so that you can stay up to date on all the things that are going on here at our church in the ministries of Prestonwood. There's a special note from our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham, in there as well, and I know that he would love for you to read it. Now, as we continue to worship here in this place, I want to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. Just as we turn our attention, just as we refocus this morning, that we would remind ourselves of the promises of what God tells us through His Word, that He's with us. He dwells richly in His people's praises. So let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we do pray. We do ask that You would come and be in this place today. Dwell richly in our hearts. Come inhabit the praises of Your people. Lord, we recognize and we welcome Your presence to this place because as we're going to study this morning in Your Word, it's Your good that we need to overcome all evil in our life. And so, Lord, we pray that You would come and You would be glorified in this place because all the honor and glory and power goes to You, King Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
Remain standing. Thank you, Peyton. I so agree. The presence of the Holy God is in this room today. Let's adore Him with our worship. Sing with me.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. You are holy.
Sing it together.
Your breath in our lungs, so we breathe.
all the earth praise his name. And in the midst of conflict in the world, so much pain and so much suffering, may the name of the Lord be praised. The God who is in control of the history and destiny and all things in the midst of wars and rumors of wars, our God is still God. May his name be eternally praised. And we praise him with our hearts, our whole hearts. I couldn't help, go ahead and take a seat, I couldn't help but flash back as we were singing that about 3 years ago. Our choir and orchestra was in Washington, D.C. To sing across the Capitol there and churches and places of worship and otherwise. And then our worship team, several of them had the opportunity to sing at the National Day of Prayer in the Rose Garden with the President, President Trump and Mrs. Trump, and a host that had gathered there, and that's the song they sang. And I've always remembered that in the seat of human power, in the first seat of the land, the White House, the name of the Lord was praised. And may his name be forever praised. And I know you're praying for the people of Ukraine and asking God to minister help and hope and healing to each one of them. Over 2 million refugees are fleeing now into Eastern Europe. We have served, we have pastors and friends and ministries in Eastern Europe, especially Romania, also in Hungary. So everything seems to be in turmoil in that region right now, and we are very close. I know you know this, but we are very, very close to a global war. And we pray that that doesn't happen, that that this can stop. God can stop it and may stop it in a minute. But may God give our leaders, President Biden and his team and the other world leaders, give them wisdom to make right decisions in times like these. We should be praying. And I'm praying. I was on a call just this past week, a national call to prayer, and they asked me to lead in prayer. And as I prayed for souls in that region. Yes, we pray for their bodies. We pray for their physical well-being. Both Russians, many people in Russia do not want this war, Putin's war. But people in Ukraine and across the world, that this would be an opportunity to see the gospel go out in power. And it often goes out when we pray and give. And we are a part of giving with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, also the International Mission Board of Southern Baptist Convention. Send relief, also with our own partners, such as Serve Him, a group that was birthed here right at Prestonwood, who served in Romania and Moldova and other parts there. They're on the ground serving. So we are receiving offerings to this, and we've already been giving. And you can give by doing this. And I would ask that all of us be a part of this, as the Holy Spirit would prompt you. When you leave the building, there are offering boxes at the exits. We're saying unless you designate it in an envelope to something else, everything that goes in those boxes today is going to the Ukrainian people and our relief efforts there and our gospel efforts that are there. So please know that when you go, and put something in the box if you possibly can. You can also go to 74788. That's our magic number around here. And you can text in Ukraine, and you will be directed as to how you can give. You can always give online. There's a designation there for you to be able to give to this relief effort online. And also you can use our giving kiosks that are in the atrium. You can use a credit card, however you choose to give, and there's a button there for this purpose. So we want to continue to give. We want to add on to our relief fund and our ministry fund and our mission fund in order to help people who need it the most right now. God has called us to do it, and we will do it in Jesus' name. So would you bow your heads with me in prayer? And maybe just in being solid with the people of Ukraine, in solidarity with the people of Ukraine, and your heart being with them, maybe just put your hand over your heart right now as we pray this prayer. Lord God, you know you hold the whole world in your hands. None of this surprises you. You've got a plan and a purpose And even when you do not rule, and where you do not rule, in places and people, you overrule. And so we can trust you, and we do trust you in this. But Lord, our hearts are broken when we see on our screens the heartbreak, the heartache, the suffering, the pain, the loss of life, death, and the unknown, the uncertainty that is in front of us as a world, and particularly the people of Ukraine, surrounding areas, for those refugees, for their families, for their children, their grandchildren. We pray for them. We pray for our president and world leaders, God, that you would help them to find ways to end this. Even work in the heart of Putin. You turn the heart of the king, oh God. So maybe turn his heart, if it be your will, to end this even today. We know it's your will that this war be ended. But God, overcome the willfulness and the hard-heartedness of men, and change the hearts of men. Do miracles in people's lives. We pray for souls. We pray for lives to be changed. We pray that there would be a harvest of souls and evangelism through Christians and people working with refugees, and may the gospel go out in this region perhaps as never before. And we pray for those who are suffering and are in pain right now. And we weep with those who weep this very moment. Thank you for this church and the heart of this people, always to pray, to give, to serve, to go and witness in your name. May it be so today as always, Jesus. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
In Psalm 56, verse 8, King David is crying out as his enemies are attacking him. And he says, "Oh God, you keep track of my sorrows. You hold my tears in a bottle, and you write them all down in your book." We have a God who knows suffering and tears. What a miracle that is, that he walks with us. We're thankful, Jesus. Oh, the perfect Son of God, in all his innocence, here walking in the dirt with you and me. He knows what living is. He's acquainted with our grief. A man of sorrow, son of suffering. Blood and tears, how can it be? There's a God who weeps, there's a God who bleeds. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. With some imagine you are dead, chases down in merciful pursuit. To the sinner you grace, and the broken you embraced. And in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Yes, Lord. As in the end, the proof is in your wounds. Oh, beloved. There's a God who weeps, there's a God who believes. Oh, praise the one who would reach for me. Hallelujah to the Son of Suffering. Hallelujah. Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing, all praise, King Jesus. Glory to God in heaven. Your blood still speaking, your love still reaching, all praise, King Jesus.
King Jesus, glory to God forever. Your cross, my freedom, your stripes, my healing. All praise, King Jesus, glory to God in heaven. Your blood still speaking, your love still reaching. All praise, King Jesus, glory to God forever. Glory to God forever. Oh yeah. Glory to God forever.
To the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Take your Bibles and turn with us to Romans, the 12th chapter. This is our essential gospel series, the book of Romans. We have been studying Romans for some time now and continue in the days ahead as we are singing of the Lord Jesus and his love and his blood and his suffering. We are on our way to the cross and to Easter at this season. And I know that you're already thinking about bringing someone, inviting someone, encouraging someone to join us here at Prestonwood at this time of the year. It's a fantastic time. I know it's spring break right now, and we know a number of you, like I was last weekend up in D.C., you're watching online, so we're really glad that you have joined us wherever you are. And so thank you for being online with us. And then, of course, we've got so many students and missionaries out there right now. This seems to be always an interminable spring break to me, but we'll get everyone back, and everyone needs a breath and a break, and if you had a chance to get one, I'm glad that you did. But this is Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 14 to 21, and the title of this message and the words from Frozen, Let It Go. Let it go. For the scripture says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay not one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. And then the bottom line, the key to everything in this passage is verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. As we have said from the old adage in the past, better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. I want to speak to you about how to overcome evil with good. And that means to let it go. What you have here in the 12th chapter of Romans are like parables, or pardon me, like proverbs, one after another. They just keep coming. Paul counseling us as to how we are to live the Christian life. It is a life of love under the lordship of Christ. And under the command of the lordship of Christ is the call to love. To love authentically and sincerely and devotedly. To love and to give our lives away in service to our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is one of the most essential truths that we find in all of the Bible and in the teachings of Jesus, and it regards forgiveness. Romans chapter 12, these verses that we just read are an echo of what our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, love your neighbor. You have heard it said that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. What do you do when you're mistreated, mocked, hurt, wounded, betrayed, left, damaged, broken by others? What is the response? How do we forgive those who hate us and may even hurt us? How can we, those who harass us, Christians are under persecution worldwide, and even here in our country, if you stand for the truth of God's word, you will find yourself facing fire and flak. The Bible says all who live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. And it may not be, of course, physical persecution, but other kinds of pressing and persecution and problems and pain that come as a direct result of our faith in Christ, or due to the circumstances in life. And if you live faithfully and fully as a follower of Jesus, you will find yourself in the target zone. And Satan himself may choose to attack you and others to attack you as well. And Paul is saying exactly what Jesus was saying. Rather than hate back, we are to love back. Rather than to pay back, we are to give back what people do not deserve, and that is forgiveness. Now, this goes against every natural human inclination in us to protect ourselves, to strike back. And this prohibition in no way suggests that we are not to protect ourselves, our home, our homeland, against abuse and abusers and all kinds of oppressors. Yes, we are, and we'll get more of that in the next message from Romans chapter 13 and how we are to respond in terms of legally and how we are to respond when we are hurt and how God may use vengeance and wrath of man to enact his judgment on earth. But on a personal level, all of us are to respond differently. This is supernatural. This is not natural. If something's falling on you, you automatically put up your hands to protect yourself. If someone strikes you, you automatically may throw up your fists to fight back. It's a human reaction. I heard about a lady just this past week. She was in the McDonald's line, and as she was waiting there to order her food, she was ordering something different as normal, so she was taking a little extra time. She was an older lady, and she couldn't quite hear what was going on in the speaker. And while she's waiting there to give her order and trying to get it out, the person behind her, the lady behind her, just lands on the horn, just blows the horn as hard as she can. And the lady, you know, struggling a little bit, goes ahead and makes her order. But when she moves up to the pay order, you know how there's an order and then there's the pay window. She moves up to the pay window, and she says, well, I want to pay for mine, but I also want to pay for the lady behind me. And so she did. She paid for both orders. This is a good thing. so far. And as she's moving forward in line, the lady behind her, now aghast at what she had done, her unkindness returned with kindness, dumping coals of fire on her head, killing her with kindness. She sticks her head out to the window and says, "Thank you." The lady nodded appropriately and moved to the window where now she's now picking up the food. At which time, she picks up her food and the food of the woman behind her and drives away. So the one behind her got it in the end. She had to drive all the way around, order again, and go through the whole process. Now, there's just part of me that wants to cheer that. I'm sorry. And so I'm saying that our inclination is just that. However we may choose to retaliate or to strike back, this is our humanity. But we are called to something higher, something better, and that is to love and to show that love in certain ways. Not with revenge and retaliation, which is our default position in our flesh, to get even, to strike back, to settle the score, to even hate. So many people are filled with rage and anger. We've got all kinds of rage today going on. We've got road rage and office rage and mask rage and Twitter rage and sports rage. That's if you're a Cowboy fan. Sports rage and all kinds of rage. And those who are so angry, and we're facing this kind of anger. And sometimes when we face this kind of anger, we want to go all Old Testament on them. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, "You've heard it that way, but I say to you, turn the other cheek to the one who strikes you and harms you." And Paul, who himself was first a persecutor, persecuting Christians for their faith in Jesus, but then transformed and changed. Then he became the oppressor, became the oppressed, the persecuted, became the persecuted. And Paul knew what it was to be beaten and to be stoned and left for dead, to be shipwrecked on the way to preach Jesus, to be in prison and to be in pain and to be in suffering and to suffer injustice of all kinds. And yet he writes under the authority of the Scripture, the words of God. He says, don't retaliate, don't seek revenge, but rather return blessing for cursing. That's the first thing. To return blessing for cursing. Look again at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. To bless someone is to speak well of them. If you say, "God bless you," hopefully you mean, "May God's favor be with you. God bless you." Now, you know, here in Texas, sometimes when someone may fall down, maybe a little child falls down and skins the knee, we say, "Bless his heart." That's a good way to say it. There are other times here in Texas, if somebody makes a fool of himself, we say, "Bless his heart," like that. So it can mean this blessing thing can go one of two ways, right? But he says, bless and do not curse. And literally, it's assigned here to a word which means ongoing action. Keep on blessing your enemies. This passage includes both believers and unbelievers, those inside the church and those outside the church, to bless and to treat as friends. That's what Jesus did at the cross when his enemies were literally nailing him to a cross, and his blood is pouring out, dying for the sins of the world, your sins and mine. He kept saying over and over, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." The first words out of his mouth on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." blessing rather than cursing. In contrast to that, when we get triggered by something or someone, our response so often, rather than to bless, is to bless them out, to curse them. And the idea of bless and do not curse in this passage, cursing does not have to do necessarily with profanity or cussing, but it means to call down judgment, to ask God to damn them, to ask God to send them to hell. Can you imagine? To call down a curse from God, a judgment of God, to send someone to hell. People say that kind of thing all the time. Go to hell. There is a total contradiction between an unforgiving Christian and a Christian. It's a contradiction in terms. We don't tell them off. We tell them of God's love. At the root of this blessing and cursing, if we are cursing and unforgiving, it is selfish and self-centered to hold on to hate, to strike back when someone hits us, to hold, to carry grudges, to settle and scores, and to seethe within with anger. Anger, seething within, is bitterness. And bitterness always, always, dear people, always leads to brokenness. This is why so many people are depressed and anxious and lonely and filled with hostility and taking pills just to get through the day, holding on to hurts, holding on to hate. Emotionally, physically, and certainly spiritually, it is devastating. I can tell you as a pastor, I've seen it again and again and again over the years. People whose lives and families are destroyed because of unconfessed anger and unforgiveness in their lives. So many are filled with resentment and therefore they are unrepentant, because to be unforgiving is sin against God. So much pain could be alleviated if only we would be obedient to the command of the Bible to forgive as we have been forgiven. Isn't that how Jesus taught us to pray? In the model prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sin is a debt. It is a debt we owe, a debt that we owe to God. So we ask God to forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Forgiven people, forgive people. And that's what we learn here. And Paul specifically gives us several ways that we are to return blessing for cursing. And that is, one, to rejoice with those who rejoice. To rejoice with those who rejoice. These are specific ways that you can begin healing the hurts that are deep within. Rejoice with those who rejoice. To celebrate your family, your friends, your church, your co-workers. You say, how? We ought to rejoice when a child is born, when a wedding takes place. Jesus did. He went to the wedding party at Cana of Galilee, and he was the life of the party, entering into the joy and the happiness of the celebration of that couple so long ago. When someone gets a promotion, when someone graduates, to rejoice with those who rejoice. Even if your child, you know, your friend's child graduates magna cum laude and your child graduates laudi, laudi, laudi. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice when the promotion you worked so hard to get is given to someone else. Can you rejoice with them? Or an achievement, a success, a win in people's lives? May God help us to rejoice with those who rejoice. What if you chose to bless people by celebrating people every day in your life? It's true of the church. People go where they are celebrated, not where they are tolerated. And when people walk into this room or the hallways of this church or meet us in our neighborhoods or view us online, they find a people who are celebrating life and celebrating the love of Christ by giving that love away. Celebrating or tolerating. I just was thinking, that's the difference in a dog and a cat. A dog celebrates you. I come in the house. Those two beagles are jumping up and down. They're excited. They can't wait to see me. They're never going to judge me. They're just glad I'm home. The reason I don't have a cat is a cat doesn't celebrate you, just tolerates you, just looks at you. Now, don't send me emails, all the cat lovers. We know only dogs are going to heaven, so just leave it at that. You know where cats are going, don't you? Rejoice with those who rejoice. See, if you're a cat lover, you rejoice with a dog lover right now. But then it says, weep with those who weep. And that means that we are empathetic and sensitive to the hurts that are all around us. Because the opposite of love is not always hate. Sometimes the opposite of love is simply apathy and indifference. And so as Christians, as believers and followers of Jesus, and the one of whom we sang a moment ago, the Son of Suffering, who wept over Jerusalem, who wept at the grave of his friend Lazarus, of the God who stores up our tears in a bottle. Because we have been so forgiven and so graced by God, we enter into the pain and the suffering of others, this compassion. How can we not feel compassion when we see the images of Ukraine and Eastern Europe on our television sets or on our screens? There's a thing psychologists call psychic numbing. So often in our generation, because we're so connected, we see almost everything. We just shut it down and turn it off. I can't look at that. But sometimes we need to look. The man who picked up the broken man in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, it says he saw him and he had compassion on him, and then he acted in love. We must not be so desensitized to the pain around us that we ignore it and are indifferent to it. Preston Wood, I would say, we get really high marks on loving hurting people. I see those who are hurting here. There's grief, there's sickness, there is sorrow, there's job loss, all the suffering that people face in life. And I see you, church, responding in love. Our life groups and our pastoral care and its ministry, and I see how you love, and it strengthens me in the work that God has called me to do. Weep for those who weep. And especially those who are lost. Weep for the lost. Jesus did. He looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept. He said, I would have drawn you to myself, but you would not. And he wept openly. And copious tears flowed down his face. He wept over the lostness of his people. We ought to weep over a neighbor lost without Jesus and on the way to hell. And weep for nations without the gospel. And pray and go and serve. We're to comfort the hurting, because after all, the old maxim says, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And the caring, compassionate ministries of the church gives us an advantage, access to share the gospel with people. And I would say one more thing about weeping with those who weep. Sometimes we are hesitant to know how to comfort someone. We think, I don't have words to say. Well, most of the time, hurting people don't need words. They just need you to hug them, to hold them, to say, I love you, I'm praying for you. How can I serve you? Don't think you have to run in with a sermon. You might find that strange coming from a preacher. It's not typically appropriate to run in with a lot of words and sermons, but to go in with compassion and concern and help. This is the essential gospel lived out in love. And I not only want to give this message, I want to live this message. And may God remove all the hurt and anger and bitterness that is in our lives. And such is what he says. We've said, return blessing for cursing and rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. And then the last point that I want to make from this passage today, there's so much here, so little time to say it, but refuse to retaliate. Thus the title, Let It Go. Let it be. Because the scripture says in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable, that is respectful in the sight of all. Who is all? In the sight of God, in the sight of the church, in the sight of all people. Do what is honorable and respectful. Let it go. Let God be God. For the scripture goes on to say that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Don't live in a payback mode or even a pushback mode, but in a give back, love back mode. That's what is supernatural. And God's love is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5. And Paul is saying here, let God fight your battles. Stop the fighting. Don't return fire with fire. Don't pour gasoline on the fire. Not vengeance. But let the wrath of God take care of those who oppose him. God will take care of it. It's not my job or your job to judge. It is our job to love in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is God's job to judge. And if you have been betrayed and cheated and hurt and harmed, and most people have in some way, I have and you have, it's time to turn loose and to let go. Some of you have been carrying things from your past, even from childhood. And the anger that is still in you, and the rage that is seething in you, and the bitterness that is in you, it's like baggage. When I travel, I like to travel as light as possible. And in the journey of life, don't walk around carrying burdens and fighting battles that don't belong to you. And rather than always wanting to fight back and to settle the score, to get even, let God be God. Let God take it over. Forgiveness is giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. It's forgiveness. It's the forgiveness of God that we have received, and therefore, how can we be unforgiving to others? Listen to these words by Neil Anderson. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. You're going to live with those consequences whether you want to or not. Your only choice is whether you will do so in bitterness and unforgiveness or in the freedom of forgiveness. What about you? Will you live in the bitterness and therefore the brokenness of the pain of the past? Or will you live in the freedom of forgiveness by letting God fight your battles? Let God settle the scores, because it says give God space to do this. Give God time to do this. You say, Jack, you don't know what you're talking about. Exactly, I do know what I'm talking about. When my father was brutally murdered in 1970, I had to deal with this passage and this issue in my life, to forgive or not to forgive, to hate or to love. Whether or not I would let God be God and fight the battles, or I would try to take control. Whether or not I would live in the freedom that God has provided, or I would spend the rest of my days miserable because I couldn't get over it, I couldn't get through it. And there have been other times when all of us, like me, you have dealt with betrayal and brutal things that have happened to you in your life. But I'm here to tell you, if you let God take over, you'll trust God to do what only God can do, He'll bring justice to your situation. He'll bring light to the darkness. Because the promise is true in verse 21. It's really a command with a promise. Don't be overcome with evil. Overcome evil with good. Always good. God's good. Trust Him with that. Desire to do it. Decide to do it. And then do it by letting it go and letting God fight your battles. I want everyone to bow your heads with me in prayer, and I want to have a time where this morning you can just experience forgiveness in your life. One thing you might even do is just kind of quietly put your hands in front of you. If you're holding on to something, some hurt, some pain, some bitterness, some unforgiveness in your life, something you just can't let go, just hold your fists together tight and try to squeeze, and know that you can't ultimately keep squeezing. You can't ultimately keep fighting and putting your fist up. But if you will right now then just release and open up your heart and open up your hands. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. If you want to look, the prayer's on the screen. If you just want to listen and pray it back to God, you can do that as well. But this is for you. And if you're online watching right now and you're with us in this and you understand what you need to do right now, which is also to ask God to help you to forgive, and to let go, and to let God handle your life and your future. So here's the prayer. Father, today I let go of the pain of my past. And I ask you to forgive me for holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. I give my wounds, my pain to you. And I'm choosing today to completely and totally forgive any who have hurt me. What would make this even better for you is if you inserted a name there. Name the person who hurt you. Name the person who took advantage of you. Name the person who wounded you. and say, I totally forgive in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for healing my hurts and setting me free. And from today onward, this is important. I give up my right to judge or punish. And I entrust it completely to you. I entrust it completely to you. In Jesus' name. Now, with head still bowed, eyes closed, some of you need the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus for your own sins today. You've never been saved, but God's love and grace is calling out to you. His blood was shed for you so that all your sins, maybe you've been one of the offenders. Maybe you've spent a lifetime hurting people. And you know in your past there are regrets because you didn't live in love. You lived filled with hate and rage and anger. And you need to be forgiven today. And you can be forgiven. You can be forgiven because of what Christ has done for you. That he died and rose again so that that sin, your sin and mine, can be forgiven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. So pray, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life to forgive me of my sin. I believe you died for me and rose again. And right now I do trust you. Turning from my sin, I trust in you. Repenting of my sin, I receive you, Lord Jesus. Come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my Master and friend. And help me to live for you all the days of my life until you come for me. Pray that prayer. And if you're online watching this, 747-88 is the number, and text in JESUS, and we're standing by to help you in that decision to follow Christ. And in this room, there are ministers upstairs in the balcony on the lower level here waiting for you to come. We're going to ask that you leave the place where you're going to be standing as we're singing together this hymn of decision. I'm going to ask you to come forward and openly confess and follow Jesus. There are others who need to join this church and be a part of the mission of this church to take the gospel to the world. God has led you here, and now it's time for you to act, to join the mission of love, the mission of Jesus to the world through this church. And then one more thing in this invitation, and we're going to take some time to do this morning. You prayed that prayer, and maybe you'd like to take another step today to just come to this altar and pray and leave your brokenness and leave your bitterness and leave your pain here at this altar today in prayer. So I'm going to just open up this place for prayer. And if you need to come here today and kneel and just let it go, let it be, and give it to God, then we want this ministry to happen in your life today. Lord, may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 747-88. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 747-88 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.